Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Welcome on in. This is the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our four Chicagoland locations today. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan, we're talking golf with you here on ESPN 1000 every single Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m. throughout the golf season. We've got so much to get to today. A lot of talk on putters. I brought my putter in today because you very graciously have agreed to re-grip my putter. So thank you very much for that. You just have like a whole shop built up in your garage, right?
Yes, I do. And that
the Gilligan Pro Shop.
It is. And I do a lot of club repair and a lot of re-gripping for everybody in the family and friends. And I consider you a friend. So
thank you very much.
I will make sure that thing goes on and goes on straight.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. We've also got to get to some Tiger news later on today. But how about the news of the week in the golf world? It was on Netflix this week, and it was the release of Full Swing. The All Eight came out. We were speculating. We weren't sure if it was going to be one at a time, maybe two at a time, like we've seen the Apple TV's been doing with the Patriots documentary and what ESPN did with The Last Dance, where it was two at a time. But they did release All Eight. I have not gotten to All Eight yet. It dropped, I believe, late Wednesday night. I have gotten through the first three, and it's delivered so far. And like, it's funny too because we went through some of the episode titles and all that last week, kind of previewing what was to come. And the first two episodes were "The Game Has Changed" Part One, "The Game Has Changed" Part Two, and we already knew what that was. We knew it was going to all be about the shift to the merger between LIV Golf and the PGA Tour. And it gave you some good moments, some good stuff there. But episode three, to me, has been the star of what I've watched so far.
Yeah, it no doubt. And I think, just like you said, part one and part two was before and after, you know, the whole June 6th, you know, announcement and the shift in the tide. Rory McIlroy comes off as the big star in, mm-hmm. in the very first one.
One thing I note about Rory, looks maybe it's just me, and I'm used to seeing him with a hat on, looks a little grayer.
Yes, he is. That happens to all of
yes.
us. It just does. But that's, you know, that's the mature Rory that we're yeah. beginning to see. I just remember when he came out and he had a mop of a hairdo, and it was as dark as can be. But, yeah, Rory, you begin to really get a nice insight of all of the pressure that was really, he didn't ask for this.
No.
It just came to him because, you know, he's a natural born leader through his play on the golf course, but also his demeanor and his personality is engaging. And quite frankly, he had a great relationship with Jay. And so it just seemed to be, he was the natural voice, and he played the role and played it quite well. I might add. Until June 6th, yeah. and that's where everything then in his world changed. In episode two, you know, it gets into then the shock and all of the thing. But like you, I gravitated to the third episode, and thus far, it is the best by far. And it has two people engaged in this that I would have never thought I would really relate to. But when it was all over, I came out a Wyndham Clark fan
yes.
like no other. I just respect that man for more than ever before. I just, what he went through and how he came out on the other side versus, you know, what Joel did and mm-hmm. how he's dealing with a lot of the same issues. Two different paths to take.
Yeah.
And you see for yourself how it all comes
yeah.
out.
Yeah, one guy wins the U.S. Open. The other guy is struggling through yeah. the worst year of his career. And it really shows you how much of golf can be the 6 inches between your ears. And getting back to the first two and talking about Rory and all that, the thing that always struck me, and I think people don't realize it with athletes in general, and then specifically with golfers, is just how much these guys take on. And Rory in particular, when you are a high-profile golfer, it's sometimes why we do see people get out to the fast-track starts to their career. Think like a Jordan Spieth and even Rory McIlroy, who has not won a major in quite some time now. Like, these guys get out to these fast-track starts to their career, and then all of a sudden it dips off and you don't see him get back on the major track. Colin Morikawa is another example of this. It's because when your profile rises within the game, there's so much more that comes with it. Sponsor outings and doing more endorsements and going out to these different meetings like we saw with Rory and meeting up with Jay Monahan for all these different events. And it just takes a toll on you. It takes a toll on you physically. It takes a toll on you mentally. It takes time away from you on the golf course as well. And I think you get a little glimpse of that into Joel Damon, how he was talking about how he just got famous because of Full Swing last year. And you see him signing all these more autographs throughout the show and stuff like that. He's a different person out of that. And because of that, it's not like he was number one in the world or even top 10 in the world. No, he was 70 in the world. I mean, his joke is always, somebody's got to be the 70th best golfer in the world, might as well be me. And he talks about that, and it's just like, he's got all this added stuff, but he's not making the money, and he's not having the success that guys like Rory and Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth are having. And because of that, it's really taking him away from the golf course, and it's probably messing with a lot of his potential as well.
Yeah, and I think in the NFL, they call the last guy drafted Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
And in a way, Joel Damon ended up being that last season in a funny way and in an endearing way, right? Yeah. But to your point, it absolutely has backfired because he's living in a mental jail like no other because, like he says, I'm famous, but I stink.
Yeah.
And my game is on microscope and is on a spotlight like no other. I think this year he'd rather be just anonymous, you know, irrelevant, and just going through these trials and tribulations that he's fighting right now. But he's trying to live up to an expectation of being famous. But unfortunately, the golf clubs haven't made him famous yet.
Right.
Netflix did.
Right. And
so,
it feels
big
like
difference.
It feels like, though, the toothpaste is out of the tube at the
absolutely.
Same point. Like, it's not like he can just kind of go into hiding. And it's not just him. Like, his caddy, Gino's one of the most beloved guys on the tour as well. He was signing autographs, like, just as many as Joel, it felt like. And those two guys, they're a great pairing together. But ultimately, it's going to come down to, are they a great pairing together on the golf course?
Right. And, you know, a lot of questions start being, you know, addressed and have to be answered and addressed by Joel. And that I come from his wife, mm-hmm. from his caddy, and all the people that are in his support, you know, in the backdrop of his company, if you will, or his brand.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a guy like Joel, you know, is doesn't realize how much of the world is relying on him for their living. And
right.
then, you know, you start throwing a new child into the world, a new home, mm-hmm. and this newfound fame. And all of a sudden, it's a lot to deal with all at one time. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's had to do. And, you know, I compared a lot of us in just regular life go through our own struggles. And how do we deal with it? Well, this episode showed that he started to drink a lot more. Mm-hmm. And his wife addressed it with him because she felt that, hey, wait a minute. You have an obligation to us. So it's like either stop doing this and go get a real job or go back out committed to golf and just get out of this house. And I think that was some of the first part of him kind of getting his head straight. But it wasn't until the end with his caddy, that emotional moment on the plane. Because it was, you know, basically he's saying, you know, trade me if you're really going to be like this. I need to go out and find another bag. And Joel wants him to, but he's trying to save Joel from himself, saying, I don't want to. So Netflix has really given us an insight that is so unique and cool in so many different ways, because I think We think that everybody's making gobs of money, traveling in these planes, having the greatest of times, and they have no issues in life. When in fact, what we'll find out in episode three, even at your highest level, everybody has issues.
Yep. 312-332-3776 if you want to chime in on anything that you've seen from Full Swing so far. It's been a great start to the series. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and of course, there's plenty of drama to come, too. They're going to get into the Ryder Cup. They're going to get into more and more. I don't know if you caught this. Episode one, we got a quick little glimpse at the Masters press conference of our buddy James Colgan as well.
Yeah,
he was. You could see him sitting in the presser at the. I think it was John Rahm's presser at the Masters there. But anything that you're waiting to see or really want to see in the coming episodes there?
Well, you know, I can't wait to the Ryder Cup. My fear is that they're really not going to give us the kind of, you know, accessibility into team rooms and the whatnot that I would really like. But I'm anxious to see how that all ends. I guess I wish I could say I look forward to seeing when Tiger comes on. But he's noticeably absent,
yeah.
And I think is going to be absent through the entire series. So I don't look forward to that. I really look forward to the whole Justin Thomas journey here.
Yeah.
Because if you remember in episode one, he had the line
I was going to say
over the episode when he gives a toast to Mito Pereira, who blew the PGA and opened the door for him to win. And even Koepka and Phil Mickelson laughed at their LIV colleagues' expense. So, you know, it was cool how they all came together, but just how Justin Thomas and how Zach Thomas struggled and how he went about picking those final six and just the commitment or recommitment or gut check or whatever Justin did to get himself on the team. That's, I guess, what I'm looking forward to tonight.
I'm looking forward to that as well. That's probably my number one because that was the story and that was the biggest piece of contention down the stretch as we got into like July and August was what's going to happen with Justin Thomas. Is he going to be a part of this team? Is he not going to be a part of this team? And ultimately he was. So I think that's going to be some of the juiciest stuff the rest of the way in this series.
How about how episode one opened though with Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler peppering the porta potty with golf balls on the range?
Adam Hadwin
was using it. So you know,
a good Canadian boy,
classic guy humor. You know, and again, it will test your emotions from from stem to stern, end to end. And that's why I think this is so, so great.
Yep. You want to talk about it with us, 312-332-3776. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our four Chicagoland locations today.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan, we talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season, 9 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Been talking a little bit of Full Swing, but last weekend, boy, we finally had that weather turn. Got a couple days in the high 60s, low 70s. People were out and about playing and it was fine. It felt like it was finally the golf season. Now, we didn't get that cooperation this weekend, but it does feel like we're starting to turn probably, and the posting season right around the corner as well with the CDGA March 15th.
Yes,
if I remember correctly,
March 15th.
You'll be able to start posting scores. So it's right here. It is right around the corner. How much activity did you get out there last weekend?
Well, between being out at Golf Tech, seeing Ryan Kohlberg, my personal coach out in Naperville, I then hit the Village Links. I hit St. Andrews and Arrowhead over the course of the 2 days.
So wow.
I got a lot of golf in. In fact, on Sunday, I was in a pair of shorts all day, and it was outside all day. A little windy, but that's okay.
You know, the wind was interesting on Sunday because you would be going down the fairway, wind was would be in your face, and then you'd hit your approach shot, wind would be at your back. I mean, it was whipping back and forth on the same hole.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not talking about some hole that would dog leg right or dog leg left. No, you would be playing a straightaway hole, and you would be getting a different wind level and a different wind gust coming your way or with you based on just where you were playing the hole. It was pretty – I don't remember playing around like that because the wind was whipping, and it would sometimes help you, sometimes hurt you, and it could all be on the same hole.
That's a sign that you're actually getting better. You're recognizing your, you know, the elements that are around you, mm-hmm. and the surroundings and what you have to navigate. Now you can imagine how these tour players feel when they're playing near the ocean, near the beach,
yeah.
like down
Kiowa.
In Florida, mm-hmm. in Kiowa. I mean, but any of these Florida stops, with the exception of now that they're in the middle of the state in Orlando, but even there, the wind will go. But yeah, that's why you see these guys, you know, walking off, pulling off of shots because, you know, all of a sudden that thing gusts a different way and it wasn't what they just thought 4 seconds ago. So, yeah, wind is the biggest enemy to a golfer. Rain, not so much.
No, yeah.
They don't care. I mean, it's the wind.
You can play through a light rain. No problems there. Yeah, it is the wind, especially if you're on a par three mm-hmm. and maybe the first person in your group is up there hitting the ball and it is... They have no conditions they have to battle with, no elements working at their disadvantage. And then you step up there, and all of a sudden, the thing's whipping at a 15-mile-per-hour pace, and you got to step off. You got to wait for the right moment, and then you step back up. You're all set to approach it, and then all of a sudden, the wind picks back up again. And then eventually, it gets to the point where you're just like, all right, I'm going to club up and just let it rip.
Yeah, and then once you hit, especially if you're the first player, the end result, let's say then it comes up 10 yards short of the green and they all know that you hit it good, the loneliest feeling is watching your three competitors turn around and throw their clubs in the bag and pull out the next one based on your feedback mm-hmm. or lack thereof. So yeah, the wind is, you ask any of the tour players, they'll be the first to tell you, wind is their enemy.
Yeah, it is the toughest of the conditions to play through, no doubt about that. Looking too about just the whole golf season itself, and we're going to talk to Ron Cassidy from the Glenview Park Golf Club coming up at 10 o'clock. But places were open, and places are going to be opening earlier and earlier. It seems like some places were targeting late March and early April, and I think what we saw this past weekend maybe expedited some of that process. So I'm looking forward to talk to Ron about all of that and how Glenview Park is going to be operating.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, in talking with some of the folks that I saw over last weekend, for a couple of operators, it caught them by surprise, obviously, with the weather and the consistency that we're having so early on. So, yeah, somebody needed to tell Punxsutawney Phil that, you know, that golf season doesn't necessarily start until about April, but here in Chicago, it has started in early March, and these clubs have made the commitment. They're staying open now. It's not going to be, we're closing again for a few days and reopening, and then the real reopening is going to be later in the month. No, I would say at least 90% of the clubs out there are open for the rest of the season, and in the years that I've been around here, I can't remember a season that we've opened so early.
Yeah. It's been, and listen, we've had the weather for it, and the way that golf is now, where you can, it used to be if you wanted to golf in the winters, you had to head down to Florida or head out to Arizona and take some sort of trip to play. But with the rise of simulators like X Golf and all that, and all these heated bays at these driving ranges now, you can play year-round indoor facilities like practice and training facilities like Golf Tech too. Like, you can train to play year-round, and I think that's something that has completely changed the game. So you're stepping up there for your first round of the year, and you're not necessarily having your worst round of the year.
No, and in many cases, it could be one of your best or the start of something really good versus, okay, I got to get all of the bad habits out and hopefully I'm hitting it good by mid-May. A lot of these kids, and I look at my nephew and these young juniors training in these indoor facilities, and I'll tell you the biggest thing are these heated bays where you can actually flight that ball. Still, yeah, the air temperature's cold, but you're actually watching the shape of shots and you're in the comfort of a quarter zip that when I was a youngster, you just couldn't do that. It just didn't exist. So the ability to get good and play good in our region of the United States is as good as it's ever been. And so that's why I still think Illinoisans, as far as the amateur golf, we're among one of the top states as far as, you know, cranking out some of the best amateur players. And I think with the evolution of these indoor facilities and the technology and everything's about numbers and spin, I look for Illinoisans to continue to be, you know, among the top states, top state amateurs in the country.
I'm curious what the next 20 years looks like in terms of the disparity of where these pros are from moving forward. Because I think the same thing kind of applies in football, too, where it's like football, your best players are always from like Florida, Texas, California. Baseball, Florida, Texas, California. Because of the fact that they play year-round. They have the weather for it. It's in their blood. It's what they do. But now golf, like, yeah, like Illinois has had some very good players, but I'm curious to see what type of step that they will take because of the fact that there is indoor training year-round now, and stuff like that just isn't as prevalent as what it used to be.
Well, when you look at Mike Small and Pat Goss, I mean, Northwestern has got one heck of a program up in Evanston. Yeah. And, again, they have some of the top indoor facilities now going, and they'll only become more and more enhanced as the years and the technology and the products and all the softwares just get that much better. But it's now, if you've got a good coach, you don't have to be in Florida anymore. When I was looking at schools and colleges, it was like, well, if you didn't go south of the Mason-Dixon line, the college you were going to probably didn't have much of a golf program. It had to always be in a warm climate. Not anymore. And Illinois is proving that in a big, big way.
Yep. 312-332-3776. If you've already had a round for the year, let us know. We'd love to hear about it because we had the weather for it this past week. Sean is in Indiana. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Tyler. How you doing?
What's going on?
Not much. Mike, how are you?
Good, Sean. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Hey, I just wanted to chime in on weather. Every time I hear bad weather golf, and nothing stops me except lightning from playing. That's about the only thing. But there were two professional rounds that I remember. First off being Davis Love went in the PGA. I think he shot a 64 in Sunday conditions that a lot of pros say was one of the greatest rounds ever shot, given the conditions. I mean, it was wet. It was windy. It was howling. The other was Vijay Singh. I don't know if you guys remember, but I think it was 2000 when he won the Masters. Number 12, Golden Bell, it looked like a bomb went off from the wind. The green was covered with leaves and broken sticks and trees. Yeah. I mean, it was just absolutely incredible. And for those guys to go out there and play in those conditions is just a testament to how good they really are.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Sean. Appreciate the phone call there. Remember last year's Masters?
Oh.
One of the big trees came down. And that's the thing about the rain. I think some golfers, I won't say prefer the rain, but you can soften up those greens and just go pin hunting.
Oh, these guys are so good. That when a golf course becomes soft, it becomes like us playing lawn darts in our front yard. These things just stick, and when they have the distance control that they have, the golf course is absolutely at the mercy of these guys. You know, and it's funny, Sean mentioned the PGA Championship in 1997. I happened to be the on-site tournament director at Wingfoot when he did this. And I remember standing right next to Greg Norman when he found out what Davis was doing out on the golf course in amongst this rain. And I mean, the weather was awful. But Greg Norman said he is playing a game of golf and a level of golf that we are just not familiar with today, because he is in a different planet and a different golf course than what we all did. He won by like 8 or 9 shots. And
solely from that round, pretty much?
Yeah, pretty much. And
were people
ended,
upset?
No, because Davis was such a loved guy, and it was his first major. And, you know, really it happened on the greatest stage at Wingfoot. You know, and with that rainbow, and you consider his dad being a mentor, it was almost like his dad was looking over him, who's a master golf professional over his son. It just, it was a storybook ending at Wingfoot. And, but Sean brought that memory back like so vivid. It was so cool. But he's right. These guys, sometimes you're, you know, it's just like the athlete you're worried about that's waking up and not feeling so good. Then they go out and play really well. Often for some players, all they worry about is trying to stay dry, and they free up themselves to hit great shots. Now they're no longer worrying about how the club's going back and this and that. So sometimes it's these little things that have us focus on something that frees us up to do what we do best without even thinking about it.
Yeah, you resort back to muscle memory.
Exactly.
And everything just becomes second nature in that department because your brain's focused on another part of the game that is a factor that you're not used to being able to deal with, and one that, frankly, you can't control either. And I just think that the way that these guys are conditioned and the way that the level of play that all these guys are at, I'm sure some of them prefer it when it's raining a little bit, because you can just go hunting for that pin and you're going to start pulling up within 3 to 5 feet on a lot of, especially par threes or a lot of approach shots. You're going to find yourself in a really good spot as long as you can keep yourself dry. You may be miserable as like a human sponge in the moment because of all the rain that's coming in, but you know that your game may actually be elevating as a result of it.
Yeah, and it does. And it, with these guys, these caddies are professional.
Oh,
so
yeah.
What I mean by that, these bags, yes, they're heavy, but they've got every tool, extra towels. They know what to potentially have in there for when they need it, because their job is to keep their hands and grips dry, period, and the clubs clean. So if you are put in a situation as a player at this level that all you have to do is hit good shots while there's some rain and drizzle but no wind, you'll take that all day. And in fact, if there is a weather delay, the guys pray that they get the side where when the weather is either, you know, raining or not, that they get the end of it where there's no wind. So if you finished and now all of a sudden the good temperatures and the wind and all that goes down, well, now you're at a disadvantage versus being early. And if the wind's up and then they have a weather delay, then you're coming back out. You have an inherent advantage, even if you're just playing in the rain, but there's no wind.
Yep. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, also some Tiger Woods news that came across the ledger earlier this week. We'll discuss a little bit of that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with Top Tracer technology.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. If you want to join the show, 312-332-3776. We'll talk to Ron Cassidy in just a little bit. Get all of the down low of course operators and how they're handling this warm weather that we're getting. Unseasonably warm start to the golf season. And some people even getting some rounds in the month of February.
Oh, yeah.
As well. You don't see that around here. Ever.
So. No, and in fact, my coach was telling me that he doesn't have a student that he can think of that hasn't played golf in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's weird saying that here in Chicago in early February. So a lot of people have been able to stay engaged with their game, and that's a good thing as they head into 2024.
And if you went to courses last week, like they were packed.
Oh, God,
they were full tee sheets, and like I played last week and we were walking, and because they didn't allow carts out after 2 o'clock, and we were the two tents. We were the first tee time without carts as a threesome, and we were catching up to carts.
Oh, wow.
All round long.
See, now that's a pet peeve, you see, because those people all need to be staying up with the people that are in front of them.
Yeah.
And let me just remove that myth that you – all I have to do is stay in front of the people that are behind you. No, 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 no. You have to stay with the people up in front of you.
Yes.
So.
And it's that was the thing is, like, they got out to their start as the foursome and probably cleared us by, like, a hole and a half right away. And I was like, perfect. This is going to be great for us. We're going to be the first group without the carts. They're going to fly in front of us. We're going to have open runway. And there was a foursome behind us, so they'll be a little bit slower than what we're playing as a threesome, and it's going to be perfect. And then by the time we get to maybe seven, we're on their tail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, where did this come from? Where is the log jam here? And we would see that they weren't waiting for anybody. They were up and at them, and by the time we got up there, and I couldn't believe that we had caught up to them, but
In most cases, people that are, you know, knowledgeable, regular walkers, they're always going to play faster than most people in carts. And because most people really don't know how to play keep pace golf in a cart, yeah, they think it's like, I got to drive over to your ball. Mm-hmm. I have to wait for you to go through all your gyrations and things. And I'm just going to sit here and until you're done, at which point then we're either going to go to my ball or we're going to continue to go to your ball. But if we go to your next shot because you dubbed it, chances are we're going to probably have a tough time finding my ball instead of, let's divide and conquer, and then let's re-meet back up. And, you know, when you do ride in a cart, there is some expectation you are going to have to do some walking. And when you do that, that's how a golf cart twosome can play much faster than two people walking. But it just never comes that way because people selfishly think, I'm in a cart, so I'm just going to be driven around like I'm in a limo.
Anyways, some of the news from the week, Tiger Woods will not participate in the Players Championship that's coming up next week. One of the bigger events, and, you know, anytime Tiger is expected to be on a golf course or there's rumblings that he could be on the golf course, I mean, remember the Masters when he made his glorious return to Augusta? No one saw that coming. And then all of a sudden, you hear about the private jets that are flying in, and he's getting a practice round in, and it's like, oh, maybe he's playing in this thing. And then he does. But he withdrew from his own event, the Genesis, after having, was it flu-like symptoms? It was an illness. Yeah,
it was an illness.
Flu-like symptoms, withdrew. And it's just gotten to this point now where it's like, Tiger, you don't know if he is or he isn't. All signs are that he will play at the Masters this year. At least that's what the early indications look like. But at this point, you never know. And it's starting to get to that point in his career where it's, ooh, you just don't know when you are and aren't going to see him. And even the times that we have seen him, he gets out to the good starts. But then it feels like the wear and tear of what a golf event is starts to catch up with him.
No doubt. And I think Tiger is making a smart decision because I think Tiger was honest with himself in assessing, do I really have a chance at the Players?
Because he wants to play about one event a month.
Roughly, yeah.
And last year he was just sticking to the major calendar. But this year he wanted to up it a little bit more.
Right. But let's remind ourselves, this is not a major.
Yes.
He is doing this to prepare for Augusta because he knows he's not going to win. It doesn't go towards the count on the majors. Yes, he still wants to have that next victory to be out of the tie with Sam Snead, but the majors are the thing. And he knows Augusta is going to be the one that, as long as he has two legs, he's still going to be able to play there. Now, U.S. Open courses, some will and some may not. Same with the PGA Championship. And the same with the British Open. But Augusta, he knows it. He knows it better than anybody. And I think that's still a course that will fit his game for the years to come. So I think this is all in preparation so that he can literally put his best version of his body, his new two legs and all of that out there to navigate what a lot of people think is a flat golf course. It's not at all. No. It's walking one of the bigger hills in the country, if you will. But he's doing this to be ready for Augusta. And I think he will hold true to the, you know, once a month, which then would probably bring us to the PGA and the Open and, you know, the British. But, you know, this golf course isn't conducive for him. And so why risk doing any more collateral damage on the way to Augusta? If we see him, and that's a big if, I would bet it would be at Valspar.
Yeah. I look at it, too, as like he wants to get his body ready for all of these tournaments, and is not playing in this going to be the difference between being able to play on Saturday at Augusta if he makes the cut versus he gets to Saturday and it's like, oh, my body just can't do it anymore. And we've kind of gotten to that point with Tiger now where his body has just gotten to a point where I don't know if we're going to, have we seen him play four rounds?
Mm-mm. Not. So,
I'm trying to remember. Like
it would have been sometime last year.
Because he's withdrawn a couple times on Sundays. I don't think we've seen him complete four rounds.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. And that's the thing that's it's sad to see with a guy like Tiger, but it's just the reality of his golf game now. And I know he wants to pick it up a little bit here. And who knows, maybe he could, if he didn't have the flu-like symptoms, the genesis, maybe he's able to go all four, but...
But see, that's just the point. We don't know, and he doesn't know what his body feels like after four rounds, let alone two in the most recent times, right?
Yeah.
So with that being said, you know, you're looking at a whole week. Let's say he did play well enough to just make the cut, and then he's got to go through two more rounds. He could conceivably be coming out of, you know, the Players' Championship with only, what, a couple of weeks left before Augusta. And if he's done damage to his body, worn himself out, or needs to rehab anything as a result of, I overdid it, I strained this, or I tweaked that, now he's coming out of there with the mindset of, I've got to mend myself before, instead of, I'm just going to continue to get this body primed as best as I can present myself for the highest stage in the game, and that's going to be Augusta.
I think the other part, too, is, if he plays four rounds, he doesn't play four rounds. His body probably feels like it went through seven or eight rounds because of the rehab process that it takes to get ready. Like, sure, he comes off the golf course at maybe 3 o'clock after a morning round, but okay, then you go into a round of just physical therapy after that, because that's what his body has to do to get ready for round two, and then get ready for round three if he makes the cut, and then ultimately for Sunday. And there's just so much that goes into it. And that's why I do wish Full Swing could give you a glimpse into what it looks like after the round for him.
Yeah.
Every little bit that goes into what he has to do to get ready to play a round of golf after he has just completed one.
And I go back to the Netflix series. I think the entire series would be absolutely dead perfect. It just had a little bit of Tiger in it, because there's not a lot to talk about with Tiger, but those small snapshots and seeing where he is and what he's going through in real time, you know, as we can kind of equate last season and where he was in all of this, would have been tremendous. And especially if they're filming this year, you know, and if he does come to Augusta, I hope he agrees to allow himself or to allow the cameras to have a certain amount of access with him to see, you know, what life is like for this guy. Because to your point, his preparation, I go back to, it's almost like Ben Hogan after he had his car accident. It would take hours to prepare for a 4-hour round, and then hours afterwards. And this is not holding a golf club. These are ice baths and different things that they have to do therapeutically to get them, to get the body to respond for the next day or the next morning. And so, yeah, that would be a really, really interesting thing, because let's face it, Tiger Woods, even today, still moves the needle like no other.
And the other part, too, is for the young, I think it would be great for the younger generation, too, to really gain an appreciation for what it takes. Because right now, the younger generation of golfers, the guys who are like a little bit younger than me, maybe high schoolers right now, they see Tiger as a one-time major champion, as 2019 Masters. That's their glimpse of Tiger. It's a guy mired in scandal and the 2019 Masters. And I think this would give people a new appreciation for just truly how great he is and truly what it takes to get him ready. And maybe they'll have a greater understanding of why the game has dipped off and he hasn't been at that level. And listen, he's 48 years old as well. Like, that's the other part of this equation too. But
his birth certificate says he's 48.
Yeah.
That body, if you put a, like, you know,
might
where
be
they call it like a pop-up video, how they used to have in the day.
Yeah.
His body real age is probably in the 70s or upper 60s.
Yeah. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. When we come back, let's do a little bit of a look around the leaderboards of what's taking place in professional golf. That's all coming up next on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. We've got some good leaderboards going right now.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We'll start at the Arnold Palmer Invitational taking place down in Orlando. And your leaders right now, we have a six-way tie at first at 7-under. You've got Wyndham Clark, Scotty Scheffler, Brian Harman. So there's three major winners right there off the bat. Russell Henley, Hideki Matsuyama, and Shane Lowry. So you've got plenty of major winners right there. What was that, five of six right there?
That's amazing.
As a part of that crew right now on top. And then right behind them, you've got Will Zalatoris, Victor Hovland, and Max Homa are in a tie for 10, as well as Justin Thomas, Sam Burns, Sahith Theegala. Some good young players in that group right there. You've got a really strong leaderboard down in Orlando right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's far cry from the Mexico Open and the Cognizant Classic for sure. And this is, again, another one of those enhanced events where this, in fact, this event this week does have a cut. But Brian Harman, you know, when he made bogey at 18, he has a few guys that are thanking him today, because Ricky Fowler, Ludvig Erberg, and Tom Kim and Jake Knapp, among others, got in at the cut because of the bogey that he made at 18 yesterday. But aside from that, a strong, strong leaderboard. And it'll be interesting to see what the TV ratings are for this versus last week. And I think this goes to show you the dilemma that professional golf is going through right now.
Yeah, and Ludvig also very happy he got in. He's off to a hot start today. He's 4-under already through 7.
Isn't that something?
So he's already up 23 spots on the day. So you let him in, and he's one of those really strong young players that is going to be a sensation on the tour. And he's a lot of, we saw him at the Ryder Cup this past year. Like, he can play.
And we probably will get a big dose of him in Netflix in a couple more episodes, because he was an absolute stud at the Ryder Cup last year.
Yep. On the live side of things, your leader right now over in Hong Kong is Abraham Anser. He's 15-under, and he is well ahead of the pack. He's 5-up on Harold Varner and Eugenio Chikara. Cam Smith and John Rahm each at 9-under, as is Henrik Stenson. So they've also got a pretty good leaderboard going for them right now over on LIV.
Oh, they certainly do. And it's interesting to see who's playing well, because they're going to be off for a few weeks now. And that's the downside to LIV. But the guys that are going to
be... Some would say the upside, though.
Well, yeah. And again, depending on which camp you're in, Brooks Koepka will tell you this is the best way to prepare for a major championship. And I wouldn't argue with his record. But, you know, yeah, this is going to be interesting. The right guys are playing well. Abraham Anser has had a 62 and a 63. And you may say, oh, they play, you know, easy golf courses. Au contraire, because Phil Mickelson opened up with a smooth 80. So he was 17 shots behind Abraham, you know, after day one. But at the same time, great leaderboards, a lot of great TV watching, cord cutting, and if you're streaming and whatever you do. But a lot of golf to be inhaled this weekend.
And that's, I think, the Phil experience on LIV. 80 in round one, 68 round two.
That's it. See, that's how he does it. And Anthony Kim actually beat somebody, you know, so he beat Phil. But actually, he was only 2-over yesterday. So we're starting to see Anthony Kim just get a little bit better. One round at a time, one swing at a time.
Yep. All right, when we come back, we will talk with Ron Cassidy over at Glenview Park Golf Club and talk about just the way that the season has kind of opened up early for everyone. We'll talk to him about what golf courses are doing to get those courses ready for this season, and maybe an early season for many courses across the state of Illinois. This segment has been brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.